Arizona News Radio. The Goldwater Institute says the city of Glendale didn't give adequate notice about a deal it was planning to do with the new owner of the Phoenix Coyotes.
If a city can get away with violating those laws on a deal of this magnitude, then those laws mean nothing.
Tempe pollster Mike O'Neill, a bit surprised by Ron Barber's big win in the CD8 special election.
I thought it would be closer than that. I wasn't surprised to see Barber won, but if Kelly had won, I wouldn't have been astounded either. I thought it would be very, very close.
An Eloy man with a valid Arizona medical marijuana card arrested because he had a lot of marijuana and $10,000.
This is what we don't want. This is highly potent marijuana. This has significant effects on people.
Some out-of-work Arizona residents could soon be facing unemployment benefits. The 99-week program is shortening.
They were 8.6 in March and 8.2 in April, and we anticipate that May will also be below 9%.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KVNX traffic, a service of the 99-cent only stores, 4 o'clock hour. We have a collision off to the right, 32nd Street and Indian School. Also look for an accident northbound I-17 to Thunderbird. We also have a wreck westbound I-10 at 59th Avenue. 99 Cent Only Stores is the best place for great gift ideas for dad. Get reading glasses, dress socks, and neckties for only 99.99 cents each. Save more and shop the 99 Cent Only Stores first. Here's your Wednesday forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Today, our hottest of the week. We will see some gradual cooling toward the weekend. 105 tomorrow, and Friday afternoon, breezy at times, 102. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we're at 104 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, it's the Legalese Radio Show with your host, Dynamite, Dennis Willinchek. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chad Reynolds, and you're up to date.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where agents' intellects are focused like laser beams, and this is a pop quiz. True or false? There is no reward for turning 50. The Big 5-0. False. By sitting down with a farmer's agent, you can get access to the farmer's 50-plus discount and many others that could save you hundreds on your home insurance. But other than that, it's mostly just slippers and bingo.
We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
To speak with a farmer's agent in your community, call 888-96-FARMERS.
There's nothing better than eating outdoors on a nice day. With a natural gas grill, you can enjoy the outdoors while leaving behind a smaller carbon footprint than other grill types. They're less messy than charcoal grills and eliminate your worries about running out of propane in the middle of cooking. Plus, using your barbecue in the summer can help keep your kitchen cool and reduce air conditioning costs. Visit southwestgasliving.com to learn more. This green tip is brought to you by Southwest Gas.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Well, thank you, Big Chet Reynolds, that wonderful voice there on the air every week, every Wednesday from 4 to 5. And as you know, if you listen to the show regularly, we have on every week, or try to have on every week, interesting guests in the political realm, legal realm. This week, we are pleased to have on our show Congressman Paul Gosar. Now, Congressman Gosar is from the 4th Congressional District. I believe that we'll be talking about the redistricting process and what he's going through on that. But he's a name that you hear in the news. But, again, the reason we do the show is so that you can get a little bit more detail and depth as to who these people are that you're reading about. Paul is an accomplished dentist. I just found this out, and small business owner. Received his dentistry degree from Creighton Boyne School of Dentistry. He's been a proprietor of his own dentistry practice for 25 years and has been a resident of rural Arizona for nearly 27 years. Coaches Little League, serves on Flagstaff community committees. He and his wife, Maude, have been married for 25 years and have three children. And are you with us, Congressman?
I am, Dennis.
Well, thank you so much for being on our show. It's a pleasure. And I wanted
That's my pleasure.
Yeah, thanks. And you are, I take it, in Flagstaff right now, so that you're on the phone.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you a little bit more about who you are, because I see your name, and like so many people, you know, we hear these names, as I said earlier, and we really don't know who these people are. And that's why I've been having on various elected officials on, just because I talk to people and they go, well, who is Paul Gosar? So why don't you tell our listening audience while we begin, who is Paul Gosar really? And why is he doing what he's doing?
Well, you gave a very good intro, Dennis. You know, I've been part of Arizona's family for 27 years in rural Arizona. I was born and raised in western Wyoming in a little town called Pinedale, Wyoming. That's got a population of about 1,000. I'm the first of 10 kids. I'm from immigrant background from both my grandparents. I'm half French Basque and the other one is Slovenian. And so I guess kind of a very outspoken combination in that one. But, you know, very educated family from law to geology, to engineering. Teaching as well in our background. So that's a little bit about it. Got three wonderful kids, and I always believe in solutions and ideas on the table to create solutions to problems.
How old are you now, Congressman, if I'm asking?
I am 53.
So let me ask you this. I'm a little bit older than you, but at 53 years old, I mean, what motivates you to be in Congress? I mean, and run back there and disrupt your practice and so forth. What is it that motivated you? I'm always fascinated by this.
Well, I was raised with politics, Dennis. My dad was a Republican chairman in Suffolk County in Wyoming, and we got a chance to meet politicians from governors to U.S. congressmen to Ronald Reagan and those. And we were always taught that you got involved when you saw something wrong. That you, if you didn't involve yourself, that you were as guilty as the offending party if you didn't try to make things right.
Yeah.
And so we've always been involved. Before 2010, most people didn't know me. I was a dentist out of Flagstaff. I was very involved in raising my family and in my profession all the way through the National American Dental Association and State Dental Association. So I saw parts of things that were coming down, parts of Obamacare that were coming through. And a part came through dentistry when I served on the Council of Government Affairs, which I took very much offense to, Dennis, and it was the first non-doctor doing surgical procedures with a high school diploma, 18 months training, and no accountability to patients or to state boards.
Mm. So basically you're saying it was the Obama health care program that first got you really spurred on to going into Congress or running for Congress?
I think that was the final straw. I think so many other things, the rules and regulations, big government impeding how an economy can work, allowing people to make themselves better, to increase their lot in life, and to be personally accountable and personally responsible, I think is a thing that really motivates me.
Okay, and you know, we're talking with Congressman Paul Gosar, and I want to be clear. I said you were in the 4th Congressional District. Of course, congressmen run every 2 years. So are you up for election soon or what?
I am. I currently serve in the 1st District, Dennis, and we've been redistricted. My district was cut into two parts, a Western District and an Eastern District, and I chose to run in the Western District, which includes North Gila County, parts of Pinal County, Yavapai County, Mojave County, La Paz, and parts of North Yuma County.
Okay, so I may have gotten that wrong, so let me be clear on it because I thought I might have. So you're actually right now in the 1st District?
Yes.
And is that changing into a new number?
See, when they divided our district, the far eastern part retained the 1st District, and that's got Coquino County, Navajo, Apache, Greenlee, Graham, and that down that eastern side.
Yeah, and so you're from Coquino County, right?
I had my dental practice in Flagstaff in Coquino County, but I also have a residence in Prescott.
Okay, so just so I understand, and most of our listening audience, I'm sure, doesn't know the details of this either. So now you're saying Prescott's going to be in a different district than Flagstaff?
Absolutely, and that's so egregious about the redistricting, Dennis.
Yeah, this is wild. I mean, we dealt with this on a couple of other shows, and I really don't understand, and I'm sure most people out there don't either. Why it was done and how it was done. I know there's lawsuits pending on all this, which I'm sure you're more familiar with than I am. But
it's all political.
Yeah, it's all political. And
you know, there's a lot of people in the parts of the two districts still do not understand. You know, you want competitive districts, which is these two districts, 1 and 4, defy. Number two is that you want communities that actually function together, communities of interest and geographics. Coquino County, at least the non-reservation part of Coquino County, there's a lot of functioning with Yavapai County and Mojave County, from a hospital to the university like NAU to commerce to infrastructure. There's so many things that are part of that that were violated in this non-independent redistricting process.
Okay, so again, to be clear, you're running in which district now?
In 4.
4, that's what I thought.
In 4.
Right. Okay, in 4. And running against you, as I understand it, is who? Ron Gould?
State Senator Ron Gould and local businessman Rick Murphy, from Lake Havasu.
Okay, and that's on the Republican side.
Yep.
And then is anybody announced on the Democratic side, or?
There's a couple on the Democratic side, Dennis, but this district is a R plus 14. So really the election in most cases will probably be decided in the Republican primary.
Okay. And moving on, just before we take our break, on the first district, who's running in that one? Do you know?
Ann Kirkpatrick, the lady that I beat last time, is
right.
Running. A native Navajo Nation, a lady by the name of Bolden Agro, is on the Democratic side, those two. And then there's Jonathan Payton. There's Doug Wade from Sedona.
Wow.
And then also Hunter Gainter from the White Mountains.
A lot of people.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, when we come back from our break, we're going to take a break in about a minute here or less. But I want to ask you about that race with Ann Kirkpatrick, because I recall that, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do. It was kind of a different kind of race. And you
mm-hmm.
won, and then there's a lot of feedback on that afterwards, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I want to just touch on that when we come back so that we remember that and then what that was all about. But we're talking with Congressman Paul Gosar, and this is Dennis Wolinchek on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. We're going to take a few messages, and then we're going to be back talking with Congressman Gosar.
Don't touch that dial. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wolinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wolinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wolinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. This month, the HCL Detox Kit is on special. This is your opportunity to stock up on the single most important supplement for all of us who must eat cooked food when all of us mammals were designed for raw food. Just imagine, you may be able to get a second chance at healthier years by supporting the body's natural cellular remethylation and best digestion. Don't be fooled. These benefits only come from natural source products like those found in our HCL Detox Kit. Don't eat cooked food without it. Get 3 kits for the price of 2. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447. Experience nutrition that really works.
Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Did you know short sales can erase all home loan debt?
Don't walk away. Many banks and the government now pay sellers to complete short sales.
I'm Rick Elton.
And I'm Dave Elton. Elton Realty has served the Valley for over 15 years.
Every short sale is different. Outcomes are not guaranteed.
Call for a free consultation that best serves your situation and get a fresh start today.
480-451-3318. That's 480-451-3318.
Or visit eltonrealty.com.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
And I am Dennis Wolinchek, and I am an innocent man too, and so are we all. But listen, we're talking today with Congressman Paul Gosar, who is going to be running in the 4th Congressional District. I think I got that clarified, currently in the 1st. And Congressman, you had a very tough race there with this Ann Kirkpatrick, as I recall it. And again, I'm just going by memory there. just reading the papers like most of our listeners, and again, having a cursory knowledge of this. But then my recollection is after you won that election, which was a hardly, you know, a very hard fought election, there was some feedback from her or something. And I'm trying to remember what the story was, so maybe you can help me out.
She was one of the first Democratic incumbents who had lost that actually re-annied up to run against the victor. So she was one across the country who lost, but then she jumped in against me almost immediately.
Yeah, and that's
for re-election.
That was a big thing for you to win that, wasn't it? Because, as you said, that was pretty much Democratic territory up until then.
Well, it is. It's been actually a very competitive district. I mean, it's been held by Republicans and Democrats alike. But as a sitting incumbent, anytime you're trying to take one out of there, that is a sizable task with the resources and the experience that they usually bring to the table.
Yeah. I want to ask you a couple of questions, though. We've got the hour with you. And I want to ask you a couple of questions now about changing the subject. My understanding is that you agree with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, that the national debt is the greatest threat to our national security. Is that correct?
It absolutely is.
Okay. Tell us your thoughts on that and what you are trying to do as a congressman to deal with it.
Well, the biggest thing is you have to understand what our debt is. And you know, we're it's proliferated greatly under this administration, but also under others. So it's hardly just a Democratic problem. It's both a Republican and a Democratic problem. We cannot get out from underneath of this just by cutting government. We also have to create rules and regulations and red tape, but also to empower and foster an environment where private sector wants to invest and create jobs. Building mining companies that don't exist very much anymore in Arizona, agriculture, home building, infrastructure, commerce of, any type of way. So one of the things we're going to have to do is look at streamlining, making a nimbler government, but that empowers people to be part of the solution with personal accountability and personal responsibility.
All right. So specifically, what does that equate to? In terms of the budget, you're going to try to keep that in check, obviously.
You want to keep the budget in check, but you have to analyze where our budget is the majority of our budget. You know, 40% of our budget is locked up in some of what we call the entitlement programs, like Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid. And therefore, we have to have some type of reform, particularly when you're borrowing 42 cents out of every dollar that you have. We want to honor the promises that we made to our seniors and servicemen, but we also have to do it in a fashion where it doesn't hold our future generations harmed.
Yeah, but I mean, the reality of our world that we live in today is the economy is not growing at a fast clip, okay? So building up the economy to take down the debt is right now at least not in the cards. And
so I disagree with that. I mean, and I would tell you is that you look at one of the four, one of the principled pieces of legislation. In Arizona, we have the third largest copper reserve known to man, in which we try to facilitate a land exchange that would bring over $1 billion to Arizona and almost 4,000 jobs directly from that. Those are the kind of things, Dennis, that actually when you start, that's a ripple effect. It really is an economy. Really starts to bolster, and boy, $1 billion is not to be scoffed at when it's coming into a state, because to get your budget back, you've got to empower local communities, getting the government out of the way, staying with states, and then regions within the United States that empowers them with the things that they do best.
Well, let's stay with that as long as you're on it, because obviously mm-hmm. I agree with your premise. It's not too difficult, whether it's your own bank account or the government's, to figure out that if you spend less and you bring in more, you do okay, right?
Yeah,
you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that one out, although somehow nobody has figured it out.
You're exactly right, and that's why we need more practical sense, Main Street American people with business sense in Washington, D.C., as well as the state government.
Yeah,
and local
I agree, and I think you're one of those people, leaving a dental practice to become a congressman, a great story. But my question to you is just sticking with that point. What are you doing or can do as a congressman to help promote that business that you just described and to get it rolling and even increase it?
Well, what we looked at in our district is we thought, as a business model, and we have a business contract, so to speak, We have a very diverse contingency and constituent base within Arizona's 1st District. So we went to those areas to find out what were the things that make them tick, whether it be agriculture and part of Pinal County, the mining industry. Water and power is very important, so the Manalo Generating Station is in my district as well, and that really puts a sizable constraint on Arizona's economy, whether it be Phoenix or Tucson. And what we tried to do is see how we could get the rules and regulations and the bureaucracy out of the way so that would be empowered, whether it be the copper mine, whether it be mining coal, whether it be mining uranium, allow those to create jobs, the forest. You know, God, we're victims of our forest industry where we then spend millions upon millions of dollars putting out fires. And the Wallow experience is one of those that I'm tired of being victimized. We spent almost $400 million putting out that fire, and that we lost as citizens of Arizona $2.5 billion with a B, dollars worth of assets in that timber that burned. So we've got to empower the local communities, and that's one of the reasons why we looked at rules and regulations and how we structured that bill. We got everybody that was involved or had a say. We gave them ample time to weigh in. We gave people the opportunity to review the bill so that we weren't complicating future problems or having bad legislation. And then we moved it forward with bipartisan support.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good. I mean, I think that in sum, you're saying if we are congressmen, we have the ability at least to control certain rules and regulations that stand in the way of business, as I hear you.
Absolutely, and yeah. I think this is, you know, in this case, in this piece of legislation, as well as everything that we've done, we tried to highlight a rule and regulation and put some parameters on it. For example, in the copper mine, the NEPA process of the environmental impact statements in rural Arizona is outrageous, many times exceeding well over 5 years in order to get that full compliance. And as business people, Dennis, that time is money.
Yeah.
And you've got to restrain that. You have to have your due diligence, but you can confine it. Instead of doing it in linear fashion, put a case manager on it so they're doing them all at the same time. And in the copper legislation, we gave a minimum of 1 year for that compliance to be done. If you get it in one industry, you get it in all industries.
Yeah, good thoughts. Let me ask you, how do you balance the need for a strong defense and the budget cuts? What's your position on that?
Well, you know, one of the things that we have to look at is we have to look at that we just don't have the money. And I think the military aspects, we can do some haircutting, particularly in duplicity of services as far as background as parts. You know, those are the things, especially with also foreign operations and foreign lands, that those economies are basically being supported by our military involvement there. So those are some of the things that we look. But we have to have a very strong deterrent, because if you look at Ronald Reagan and why the Soviet Union crumbled, is because we beefed up our defense system and became much more the bully on the block and carrying a big stick. And I think that's where we have to really go.
But, so you think we can harmonize a strong defense and necessary budget cuts?
I think we have to be, you know, very, very cautious. I think we have to learn and listen. And I was not involved in the military, Dennis, to be honest with you. And so I really try to pay attention to the senior members, not only in our delegation, but also the senior members of the military, to start looking at the investments that we need to put forward. And these are things that benefit Arizona greatly. They, you know, particularly when we're looking at border security on our southern border, as well as our northern and ports. You know, this is one of our principal constitutional requirements by the federal government, is a strong defense of this country.
Well, you know, speaking of the defense of our southern border, tell me about your resolution of no confidence in Attorney General Holder with respect to the Fast and Furious case, because we've been following this throughout the show for the last year. This, I say it many times, but this abominable situation. And, you know, we had on Congressman Quayle, I think it was last week or the week before, and he was going to a hearing, I guess, where Holder was attending and trying to get some information out of him. And I never really followed up with him. We need to do that and get him back on the show as to what happened at that hearing. Maybe you know. But have we been successful in getting this guy to actually cough up some information that's useful?
Well, the real news yesterday broke, Dennis, that actually on Monday, is that the committee I sit on, government oversight, is moving forward with contempt charges on Attorney General Eric Holder coming this, not this Thursday, but a week from this Thursday.
Okay.
And that's because our proper oversight has been violated. We have, requests and subpoenas of records that the Attorney General has completely just disregarded. He has misled Congress. He has actually has Lanny Brewer, one of the top men, members in DOJ, I believe number three, who's actually lied to Congress, and the Attorney General refuses to say that anything's wrong when otherwise what we've got is complete contradictions of that.
Yeah, this is a complete disgrace, and we've been following it, just the stonewalling and the refusal to provide any useful information to get the bottom of it. This is really a serious issue where people die as a result of it.
And that's why what we did is put a resolution of no confidence because, Dennis, no matter how you slice and dice this, this was an attempt. This was so outrageous to put guns in the hands of criminals, not follow proper protocols for law enforcement by putting tracking mechanisms and surveillance. And what were we expecting? We were expecting something good to come out of this. Well, we as Arizonans have become victims, and one of those was one of our own, Brian Perry, losing his life.
Yeah.
Plus, we've had hundreds of Mexicans lose their lives. And what's worse about it, Dennis, is we're going to be victims again because there's over 1,400 guns that they have no idea where they're at.
I know, it's
and they
it's
will
outrageous.
End up at crime scenes throughout our state, throughout our country, and on our border.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to come back to that topic, Congressman Gozar. We have Congressman Paul Gozar with us here, and we have to take, again, a break for the news. But, Congressman, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the whole situation with SB 1070. We're going to talk about other issues as well that are affecting the healthcare system on KFNX News Talk Radio. This is Dennis Wolinchek and Jack Wolinchek. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Radio, I'm Veronica Dela Cruz. The legal battles of former Democratic presidential hopeful John Edwards are over. NBC's Lisa Myers says federal prosecutors are dropping the remaining charges.
The Justice Department has put out a statement today saying that while it's its duty to bring challenging cases and that it believes its prosecutors did a fine job in this case, that dismissing these charges at this point is in the interest of justice.
J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon told lawmakers today some senior bank executives responsible for a $2 billion trading loss may have some of their pay taken back, and Dimon apologized for the error.
This portfolio morphed into something that rather than protect the firm, created new and potentially larger risks. As a result, we've let a lot of people down, and we are very sorry for it.
Stocks are lower today on worries that Cyprus may be the next domino to fall in the European debt crisis. The Dow is off 77 points. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio.
There's no question that this was rushed through on purpose in the dark.
Coldwater Institute files a lawsuit challenging the Glendale City Council's vote on a deal with a potential new owner of the Phoenix Coyotes because they didn't give enough information up front. But City Councilwoman Yvonne Knack says that's not the case.
They're trying to tell the world how to live, and I just don't agree with them.
Arizona Senator John Kyle cautions about drawing too many conclusions from last night's victory by Ron Barber in CD8 over Republican Jesse Kelly.
It was a unique enough race that it is probable that the unique circumstances surrounding that situation are a big factor, and it's hard to read anything nationally into that particular race.
Wildfire 50% contained, 450-acre fire near the Grand Canyon.
It is super hot and dry, so any little ember or anything that we don't find out there could, emerge.
Powerball fever, $240 million payout. George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of the 99 cent only store in Chandler. Look for a wreck on Mooresville Road at Elliott. Also, we have an accident blocking two lanes of the Loop 101 westbound at 51st Avenue. We also have a wreck eastbound Loop 202 at 44th Street. And look for an accident off to the side, northbound I-17, this one at Thunderbird. 99 cent only stores is the best place for great gift ideas for dad. Get reading glasses, dress socks, and neckties for only 99.99 cents each. Save more. Shop the 99-cent-only stores first. Here's your forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Today, our hottest of the week. We will see some gradual cooling toward the weekend. 105 tomorrow and Friday afternoon, breezy at times, 102. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently, we're at 104 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds. You're up to date.
Every day's a holiday in Healthy Habit Health Food Store, 6029 North 7th Street. Tune in to Healthy House Call discussing the latest breakthroughs of integrative medicine. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. and call with your questions, 602-266-1000. Discover world-class physicians, medical researchers, Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, and testimonials from our patients and consumers of natural products. Call 602-266-1000.
Is your home underwater? Do you owe more on your home than it's worth? Are you tired of making payments on an investment that may never come back? I'm JR with Realty Central. They call me the short sale king. But to be honest, you don't need me. Matter of fact, you don't need any realtor. What you need is legal advice. How about if I told you I would arrange a free legal consultation for you to meet with a law firm that specializes in underwater mortgages? They'll meet with you for free. I know you have lots of questions, like should you stop paying your mortgage? Can the bank come after you? What will happen to your credit? How about that tax law that expires at the end of this year? If you would like the free legal consultation, please call or text this number. Number 602-405-1011. Again, if you're upside down and would like the free legal consultation, call or text 602-405-1011, 602-405-1011, a free legal consultation for you to meet with a law firm that specializes in underwater mortgages. That's 602-405-1011.
Get the kitchen you've always dreamed of. American-made maple cabinets and countertops delivered and installed for a 10x11 kitchen, only $29.95. That is $1,500 off the list price. Creative Kitchens, specializing in kitchen and bath remodeling since 1994. Call Creative Kitchens to get started on your new American-made kitchen today. Call 602-550-7620. That's 602-550-7620. 602-550-7620.
And here we are. It's 4 to 5 every Wednesday on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. And this is Dennis Wilenchek, and I'm here with Jack Wilenchek. And we're talking with Congressman Paul Gosar, who is running in the 4th District. I got to ask you this, Congressman. It's been on my mind. I'm going to get to other, quote, legitimate questions, but I got to just ask you this out of curiosity. Somebody told me that there's an ad going on right now with Legislator Gould, who's running against you, who's got a shotgun or something, he's shooting in the air, the Obama health care bill or something. Have you seen this?
I have not seen it. I've heard about it, but that's nothing new. There was another legislator, I think, back east that did that in the last election.
Yeah. Yeah, real novel. I think it was in a movie, My Favorite Year, about 25 years ago. But anyway... Now,
it's hardly a solution.
No, it's hardly a solution.
They have to have things on the table, which I hope that you'll ask. But we've actually got active things to work on that actually improves our healthcare system.
Yeah, and I'll get to that in a second. But the reason I asked that question, by the way, is because in talking with some people before the show about the show, knowing that you were coming on, somebody said to me that they're trying to dub you as the sort of liberal conservative, as opposed to Representative Gould, who is apparently dubbing himself the conservative or something like that. Is there any truth to that?
Well, he's trying to do whatever he wants to, and he follows Alinsky's rules of our radicals and misrepresenting everything that we do. Dennis, you know, what we've been all about is about solutions, about ideas, and coming to the table, not only in cutting trillions of dollars, but also trying to reform the rules and regulatory process. We have active ideas and solutions, but they're not just my ideas. They come from my district and the people that I serve,
right,
and trying to coalesce ideas. And so I've always been a solution person. So I'm a solution conservative, and he is somebody that's just a no conservative.
All right. So basically what you're saying is that would you dub yourself sort of a moderate guy? I mean, you kind of listen to things and come out wherever, whatever makes sense, as opposed to just down one straight line, no matter what anybody says.
Well, I don't know that that's just moderate. I think that's common sense.
Well, yeah, it should be.
You know, I think it's a common sense application.
Well, it should be, but all candor, there isn't a lot of common sense going around the world today, so that's why I'm asking.
You got something there, and I don't know that Mr. Gould shows that tenacity as well. So.
Well, in fairness, by the way, I want you to know, and our audience to know, that we did ask him on the show. He didn't respond, so, you know, that's his issue. But
we ought to be having, if he does get a chance, Dennis, you know, what are his solutions on the table? They need to be articulate. They need to be well-defined, which we are, and I think that's what America deserves. You can say no, but no is not just an answer. You must come to the table with a solution.
I like that.
On
I
what
like that.
You feel.
Yeah, being negative doesn't solve any problems.
Absolutely, and America deserves nothing less. They want to gravitate to a winning idea and have skin in the game. And that's one of the reasons why we've been so accomplished is that we've included people in the decision process to get this country back, because it's going to take every single one of us attaining personal goals and personal responsibility to get this country back.
Speaking of which, what do you think of the open primary idea?
I'm not afraid of competition, but I think it's a very interesting scenario. Where there's an open primary, there's always room for mischief there as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's turn the topic now to some of the areas where, as you said, you do have expertise, and certainly no one would deny that, given your background. Let's talk about the healthcare system. Tell me why that Obama healthcare plan essentially got you to the point where you felt you had to do something. What is wrong with it? Tell us what's wrong with it.
Well, first of all, it's government manipulated, and what we've done is that we have sold out to the federal government, who has been dinkering and fixing the prices in regards to medicine. And we don't have a free and open marketplace, and we don't also have a patient-centered type healthcare system. I've always believed in a patient healthcare system, so that patients have the say of sitting down with their healthcare provider and coming to common sense decisions that are based on both professionalism, the science, and accountability and cost. And what we've not done in here is that in Obamacare, the insurance companies definitely benefited. So did the trial attorneys, because we saw no tort reform. And what we want to see is we want to see much more broad competition. For example, if you and I are dentists, we can't sit and do price fixing about the cost of what we're going to do for each procedure. However, the insurance companies do that. They share all our information, they share actuarials, and they don't compete on the vertical scale. When we open that, when we start to break up those monopolies, we get increased competition, we have better prices, and we get more choices that the American people can have some say in.
Did I understand you to say, maybe I misunderstood, it's late in the day, but did I understand you to say that you thought that under Obama health care, the insurance companies and the travelers got a better deal with the Obama?
They absolutely did. There were no constraints on tort reform, Dennis, so the big winners were trial attorneys because of malpractice claims and gaffes, but also the insurers. And what I mean by that is it was mandatory. Insurance mandated everybody to have insurance. So now, instead of having only 30 to 60 to 70% of the pie, it means that 100% of the pie had to buy insurance. Mm. And they were greedy about it. And what they were fixed on was a single payer instead of a single pool. And what we would like to see, and what I've said, and actually got the legislation out of the House that repeals the anti-competitive practices of insurance companies, is to increase that competition in customer service for our dollars as consumers.
Well, yeah, I guess nobody could argue with that. Let me just ask you a couple of fundamental questions, though. Do you believe that access to health care is a basic human right?
I think we should. We have a human side to us that we have the ability to access it, but to have somebody else pay for it, I don't think is a right.
Yeah, but of course, there's so many things in our society, it's hard to cut the line here. I mean, you know, with our Social Security system, et cetera. I mean, there's a lot of programs where people are paying for other people. I guess my issue with it is, my question to you is, I mean, part of the problem I've got with this whole concept, and I go back and forth with it, but part of the problem I got, and you can maybe address this and answer it, is, you know, what happens to people that can't afford? You know, my son here just donated a kidney to my wife. It was a tremendous operation, but it cost a fortune. I just saw the bill, and it was staggering. And what do people do, literally, who can't afford that kind of thing? What do we do with these people? They become basically the rest of society essentially winds up paying for them in some form or another. You know, there's an increased cost to society, it would seem to me, by dealing with these people. Or do you just let these people die? I mean, that's where I just don't understand. It seems to me like we have to have some kind of system that that takes care of these exorbitant costs of medical care.
Well, that's why you have to start looking at all the pieces, and you have to have everybody on the same side. Dennis, you can't have winners and losers like we just explained in insurance attorneys and insurance companies. What we have to do is have to have the ability to make those decisions. America was based on the decision or the opportunity for me to succeed or fail. And if I failed, I also had the opportunity to succeed. And so when I look at health care, it's the opportunity to have that health care, and I've got to have some involvement in it. It means me as a patient, I've got to have some ability to make sure that I'm doing my part, and I thus cannot be a drain on society. Which means is, like, for example, if I'm smoking, you know, 3 or 4 packs a day, there's consequences for those actions.
I hear you. But you know, it's like the Social Security system, okay? Everybody puts some money in, and basically some of us don't benefit from it at all, and others do. That's just part of the societal obligation that you have. So if we all put in a four...
That's not exactly true, because what ends up happening is that we failed to interact and change those parameters as technology morphed. You know, for example, when you look at Social Security was established early on for a window of 2 to 4 years. It wasn't meant for 10 to 14 years. And for every dollar put in, we see recipients getting over $3. It's not that I don't want people to get their due, but they do. But we also have to look at it in the confinements of budgetary aspects and making sure that the process is reevaluated. That's why I support sunset clauses on all bills. And we should have reviewed this a long time ago in Congress.
All right, we're going to have to take a break, Congressman Gozar. We're going to come back to this topic because I find it a fascinating topic. I'm sure our audience does too. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with major issues here, and we're going to come back just after these breaks with Congressman Paul Gozar, who's running in the 4th Congressional District for a seat. He's currently Congressman in District 1. Thank you.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
My name's Dave Leach with Renee Leach & Associates. As everyone knows, the U.S. economy depends greatly on the condition of the real estate market, and neither are improving soon. As a result, if you have a mortgage in Arizona, there's a huge chance that you're upside down on that home. Phoenix home prices are down 20 to 30 years in many neighborhoods. What someone paid in 1985 is about what the home might be worth today. There is good news. Banks are encouraging short sales. At Renee Leach & Associates, we have closed over 1,100 home sales in the past 24 months. We have the experience to help you get out from under a bad mortgage. It will cost you nothing. Our relationships with lenders allow us to get it closed fast at no expense to you. You can't wait. Banks are not going to allow you to short sale forever. The tax relief is scheduled to end this year. That means you have to act now. If you wait, you might find yourself stuck, despite still owing more than your home is worth. Call 480-656-1644. Ask for me, Dave Leach, and let me help you gather the information you need to understand your options. Renee Leach & Associates, 480-656-1644, or look for us online at rlabrokers.com. That's rlabrokers.com.
Get the kitchen you've always dreamed of. American-made maple cabinets and countertops delivered and installed for a 10x11 kitchen, only $29.95. That is $1,500 off the list price. Creative Kitchens, specializing in kitchen and bath remodeling since 1994. Call Creative Kitchens to get started on your new American-made kitchen today. Call 602-550-7620. That's 602-550-7620. 602-550-7620.
Getting everything out of your body is the point. Feeling fantastic and looking even better takes extreme dedication. I use Zion's products to promote energy, fat loss, and lean muscle mass. These are the most extreme athletes in the world. They're serious, and so am I. Try fitting into a pair of these. Zion's is extreme science for an active lifestyle. Found at Zion's.com. You've got to get Zion's.
Independent Talk, 1100, KFNX.
I try to sleep, they're wide awake, they won't let me alone.
This is Dennis Wolinchek and Jack Wolinchek on Legalese on Independent Talk, 1100, KFNX. Every Wednesday from 4 to 5, we have interesting guests on. And this week we have Congressman Paul Gozar. And Congressman, we were talking about health care. Now, let me just say this. You know, I don't even know what I think about this whole thing at this point. It's very confusing to me, and I'm a lawyer, and I think I'm fairly educated. But the problem I've got with it is this. To me, it seems like people just can't afford some of these massive bills on major surgery, things of that nature. I'm not talking about just, you know, small ticket items, but I'm talking about when you have major surgery, very few people can afford that, and a lot of people can't afford to even get insurance or obtain insurance. What is wrong? I know this sounds like socialism, and I'll be criticized for it, but what is wrong with everybody contributing a small amount out of their paychecks when they're young and seeing it as a societal issue that we have to take care of each other for major catastrophes and providing for that given the high health care costs? Maybe it's not mandatory insurance. Maybe it's just mandatory withdrawals from paychecks like Social Security. I assume you're opposed to that, but what's wrong with that?
No. I think, and that's what we looked into our public health services, is that what we did is that there was a need for us to fulfill and to take care of the poorest of our ranks. The problem is
it's not even the poorest of our ranks now. It's like the middle class can't afford these bills.
And that's why when you start to look at it, it's such a multifactorial problem that you got to get back down to the basics, Dennis. And that's what you have to have is you can't have an attorney sitting over. And part of the attorneys are part of the problems when you don't have at least some type of caps on pain and suffering. You got to be able to have some kind of a checks and balances that opens a competitive market for insurance, because those are the opportunities that I spread risk. And everything that we do is risk, whether it be healthcare, whether it be going to a job and driving a car. Those are the opportunities that we have to do. But we also have to know that we have to have skin in the game as patients. So we have to understand what makes us tick. For example, I tell everybody that I'm allergic to wheat. And society shouldn't take the brunt of me if I don't follow a diet pattern of not eating wheat.
Well, that's true. That's a different issue. You're right.
This is all part of the same scenario, because when you start to see people that
that's a very limited issue, isn't it? I mean, that's a limited issue. We're talking about, like, for example, in my wife's case with a kidney disease. I mean, that's not something she chooses. She lives a great life, but she...
No, and understandably, but so many of our populations are diabetics based upon obesity, by the content of food we eat. You know, if we're really serious about that, Dennis, what we ought to be doing, and I heard it on some of the advertisements, is about the quality of what we eat. You know,
no, I agree with that. I agree with what you're saying. That's fine.
That makes us. We have to take responsibility of that, because we can't pass along the buck. And I think if what you do is you have more people will be able to afford insurance when you see open competition within the marketplace, you get back the system in which what you're trying to do is find out the majority, 80% with insurance, will be able to follow and carry insurance that they can have the majority of major medical. I mean, I'm a rich person. I mean, we have catastrophic insurance. I don't take insurance from the federal government. I carry my own, because I want to know why it's escalating, so I can ask the questions. Why is the insurance rate going up so high? We carry a $5,000 deductible per person.
Well, but you're very blessed, as am I, and there are a lot of people that aren't. That's what I'm saying. And those people just are shut out of the system. They just can't afford.
That's why we need reform, and that's why I want reform, but I don't want it in the way that the federal government dictates it, because you can hardly say, Dennis, that the ITAB board, that's a unelected bureaucrat that will decide what procedures you're going to get based upon reimbursement rates, and then if a provider gives it and it's not on the list, and you took compensation, it's a felony. Gee, many Christmas, you can't have that kind of stuff, because that obviously doesn't work either.
Yeah, you know, I also want to just ask you a couple of other things on this topic. You know, for example, should we regulate fast food, like Mayor Bloomberg wants to outlaw 32-ounce sodas? I mean, is that where we come to make sure that people don't do things that are harmful to themselves?
No, but see, we're not our brother's keeper in the fact that you have to mandate that. I think what you do is there's consequences to actions. And I think that's what we've lost sight of in America, is that I am what I am based upon personal accountability and personal responsibility.
Yeah, the other thing I want to say is that on these malpractice lawsuits, which is something you mentioned, although I'm not a plaintiff's tort lawyer by any means, to the contrary, but I do have to say that, you know, I'm not sure this is the answer to limit damage awards and so on, because basically what you're saying there is that the juries, who are our peers, are not capable of understanding the consequences of what they do. Frankly, it would seem to me just the opposite, that companies are deterred from committing conduct that results in punitive damages, results in high awards, because the juries keep them in check. But I always hear this thing that, well, we got to limit these awards. But, you know, that's almost being
I also think it has a huge input into defensive medicine. You know, they estimate that over $700 billion a year is done in defensive medicine, redundant tests, because you can't sit based upon a test that was taken 2 days earlier.
Well, there could be crazy. You're office. Right. There could be crazy consequences of all this. There's no doubt.
And I think there's some common sense tort reforms, Dennis, like Oregon does, that when there's a malpractice case, it goes through mediation. And then it's waited.
Yeah.
So that what ends up happening is that if you sit in front of a panel, both the defendant and the complainant.
Yeah.
And what ends up happening is they rule based upon what they find there, trying to keep it out of the courts, keep the cost down. And then if they choose, the loser chooses to take it to court, the court is informed about the weighted system, about who was deemed irresponsible.
I think that's fair. I think they're even trying to do that here, if I understand it. I'm not a medical malpractice.
But my whole point is that, you know, when you have a son who's given authority over a motorboat, and it's actually a case that I'm familiar with. He's 8 years old. His dad decides to be a water skier. The kid sees him fall off, turns around, and runs him over with a propeller and severs his neck. The neurosurgeon spends 16 hours trying to put the guy back together, and he actually has some way of walking. It's gated, but yet he still sues him and still wins damages because he's not the dad I knew him.
There are certainly crazy cases. I agree. But, you know, again, you have to determine whether the founding fathers put in a jury system for a reason and that, you know, mm-hmm. had confidence in our average citizens in determining these things. And frankly, it's almost saying that these people aren't capable of making decisions as to who's really real and who isn't.
We built a society, Dennis, that society is built upon the contingency of saying, okay, you know, here's a provider, they're wealthy. They can take the hit where this poor person doesn't. There's a sympathy vote that may not coalesce around.
Yeah, there's
right
that, but there's also companies that do some pretty horrible things too, and shouldn't get away with it.
No doubt, it's not an equal system. But what we have to do is that we just can't throw our hands up and say, oh well, let's go with something that the federal government will have their fingers in everything and dictating, because that's another failure. When you look at a group of people that have been the longest under government dictated health care, the Native Americans, they're rebelling. And they want their own values, they want to have their own oversight, and they want to have the personal ability to have individualized health care.
All right, so
I think that's really the future.
Let's close that topic out. I mean, we can go on for hours about it, but let's close that out by saying this. You're opposed to the Obama health care plan, and it's not
Absolutely.
Just because of President Obama. You see it as a dangerous plan. So assume that Congress gets rid of it. What do you put in its place? Anything?
Yes, absolutely. One of the first things that you do is you take off the intercedents that the federal government can't help break up monopolies in the insurance industry. I've actually done that with the repeal of the iPad board. It's called repeal of McCarran-Ferguson. I was able to get out of the House. It's sitting in the Senate, and it should be a great bill that everybody has great bipartisan support. Increases the competition in the marketplace to give us new ideas and solutions, whether it be wellness tests, looking at DNA and RNA, there's lots of different opportunities. Second of all, we have to rechallenge and redefine public health. They have to compete on the same type of aspect. If I see in private practice 30 to 40 patients, so should a dentist in public health. It's got to have a business application. And number three is we have to have tort reform that's compassionate, but also does not subjugate states' rights. It's not a government one-size-fits-all. And let the marketplace start to fit things. Just by the first one, we're going to see that we cover probably 80% of the population. And redefining public health, that's where we redefine for the people that truly need that. And I think we've got some opportunities to reset the bar. Is it an absolute no? But it's an opportunity for a streamlined process that everybody has a say in their health care and can carry it. And that way, when processes go from businesses to defined contributions instead of defined benefits, we can carry portability with insurance, and we see interstate commerce, we see regions competing against each other, and we see the cost of medicine drop because physicians are truly competing and they're not based upon government reimbursement rates.
Well, that's a mouthful, obviously, and unfortunately we got 2 minutes to close. But let me ask you this, in 2 minutes or less, you have three children heading toward adulthood, as I understand it, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What are you recommending that will prepare them for the future in this country, and how do you see the future in this country during them coming up?
I want them to have the opportunity that I did, Dennis, that that you had the opportunity to fail or succeed. And if you failed, that this is an opportunity for you to try to succeed again. I want them to understand that working hard, playing by the rules, there is an opportunity to make your life better and that there's something for the future. Nothing's guaranteed unless you have skin in the game.
Yeah, you know, we were talking before the show began, or before we break here, you know, about this topic of so-called new generation and how, you know, everybody gets an award for everything today. You know the thing. There are no winners and losers, et cetera. Unfortunately, what we're bringing up is a generation of people that aren't being competitive, you know? But
absolutely.
Anyway. All right. Well, listen, Congressman Gozar, unfortunately, we have to close. As I say, sometimes we think an hour is a long time, and it turns out to be nothing. We will follow your race, by the way. I want to thank you very much for being on our show. This is Dennis Wolinchek and Jack Wolinchek on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. And, Jack, do you want to say something?
No. That's
okay.
Go ahead.
All right. He was motioning me there. All right. So we'll talk to you again, Congressman, and thank you for being on our show.
Have you looked in your jewelry box lately? If you're like most people, chances are you'll have all kinds of jewelry, gems, and diamonds that you no longer wear, or watches that no longer work. If these items would be more valuable to you as cash, come to London Gold, the jewelry store smart shoppers have trusted for over 30 years. With gold at an all-time high, now is the time to let London Gold buy from you. Stop by one of our three valley-wide locations where our precious metal specialists are always on hand to evaluate your items. We will carefully test and examine each piece to determine its weight and current market value. Then we will make you an offer. If you accept, we'll pay you on the spot, and there's never any pressure to sell. Walk away anytime. No charge, no hassle. And if something in our showroom catches your eye, you can take advantage of our 20% bonus offer towards a new purchase. Imagine, in one visit, you can trade in old style for new ones and take home cash to boot.
London Gold, it's the best.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Neil Bortz, weekdays 10 a.m. to noon, KFNX News Time.